nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. Hi, this is Patrick Timpone. Happy summer solstice. We had summer solstice yesterday. Hope you had a good day. We had fun, and it's kind of a powerful day, that the longest day of the year. You're going to hear from Susan Bradford. She's a good one. She's been on a few times, and you like her. And we're going to be talking about, believe it or not, China, Vatican, and Fauci. How is that connection put together? You'll find out in just a moment. Stay right there. Tomorrow, Jet Blake. He's a scientist, a philosopher, political analyst, and I can say it, and a real crypto guy. He's a real crypto dude. And so we're going to talk to him tomorrow. He was on a few weeks ago, and you loved him. And then Jeffrey Smith. You know, Jeffrey, he was really the first one to talk about the dangers of GMOs. We call them GMOs around here. With his now classic book, Seeds of Destruction. And he's been at it for a long time, the GMO thing. And so we'll talk to him tomorrow. We'll be here on Friday to solve all the world's problems in the world of soul and mind-body stuff, our specialty, what we do on Fridays. And Jennifer Daniels tomorrow, next week, and Dr. Richard Mayberry next week. So, have some good stuff coming up. Susan Bradford, SusanBradford.com. That's her her website. She's quite a researcher and geopolitical analysis gal. She's written a bunch of books, and she'll tell you about those. And she's had all kinds of interesting jobs over the years. She was kind of in different organizations that would be kind of close to being in the belly of the beast, and learned a lot about governments that way. And she's in Washington, D.C. That is the belly of the beast, Susan Bradford, in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Ms. Bradford. Welcome, and thanks for coming on the show.
Good morning, Patrick Timpone, and thank you so much for having me. And if I could just make a small correction, my website is actually SusanBradford.org.
.org. Oh, you're an org girl. Really? Oh. Well, that's why people can buy you coffee and stuff.
They certainly can if they're so inclined.
Yeah. Tell us about some of your books that you've written.
I've written a number of books on the deep state. I started really my digging into the deep state with the Abramoff investigation, and I was the lead researcher for that particular case. And that investigation allowed me access into the Indian tribes. And so as I was able to kind of dig through the paperwork, I was able to uncover the financial and political networks of the deep state. Some of which I'm going to be sharing with you today, which tie into this Vatican-China collaboration.
Ah, and the Mayber, how do you say his name?
Abramoff.
Abramoff, yeah. And just a short story, what was that about?
He was accused at the time of having ripped off Indian tribes. They thought he was overbilling by millions of dollars.
And what was he representing them as an attorney?
He was representing them as a lobbyist, and it was actually he had entered into these markets that were created by the cabal. They were like these very profitable taxpayer-supported markets, casinos that were redirecting money to the mergers and acquisitions departments of Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. So they were very, very profitable clients. And he was protecting their market shares, which were worth billions of dollars, so that he was being paid millions to effectively protect them, protect markets worth billions. He thought was a good investment. The tribes agreed. but rival lobbyists who coveted his business and were working on behalf of, you know, these real deep state actors conspired against him and were able to use the Department of Justice, the Congressional Committees, the media, and, you know, work through these different agencies to railroad him into prison.
And who were you working for that was the impetus for you to be involved in the research?
At the time, I was working freelance.
Oh, I see.
So I was an independent journalist at the time. I wrote a book.
So you were just interested in this whole case.
My thought was that the political establishment was trying too hard to market his guilt, because the stories that I read on the case didn't make any sense. The facts weren't holding together, and I thought there must be some reason why the entire political establishment is aligning itself against one lobbyist who, for all intents and purposes, was engaging in typical lobbying behavior. So that kind of tipped me off and made me want to know more. And I wanted to incorporate Abramoff's perspective into the story to see, like, what was happening on the other side. So I ended up, you know, being able to paint a complete picture of not only what he was doing, but what the lobbyists on the other side were doing. And that, I think, provided a lot of clarity on how the deep state really operates.
So the deep state and the lobbyists got together to throw him under the bus, so to speak?
Yes, they did.
Because?
There were many reasons. The investigator, the scandal started in Florida, and that was due to the fact that he was attempting to acquire the Sun Cruise gaming fleet. And the Sun Cruise, had he acquired it, he would have been put in direct competition with the Seminole Tribe of Florida, Donald Trump was attempting to acquire a casino for that particular tribe, which happened to be a major fundraiser for Hillary Clinton. And so they knew that Jack Abramoff had an incredible track record of being able to protect, very aggressively protect, the market shares of his clients. So they knew that if he got into the Florida market, that he would do the same within that state. So they effectively implanted fraud into the deal, and I documented this in the book, that left him holding the bag. And since the Seminole tribe was represented by Greenberg Traurig, which Jack ended up joining after the scandal, Greenberg Traurig represented Butch Cheney in the Florida recount.
Wow.
And so once they won, they had control of the Department of Justice.
Very interesting.
They were able to kind of control of power.
The little tentacles of the swamp, just they're all kind of tied in together, aren't they?
They certainly are.
My goodness. So this morning, you write about and you've researched that the China-Vatican connection goes way, way back that we'll get into. And then there's also some strange things with Fauci and the HIV, which we've done quite a few shows on the HIV and the whole fraud that there's never even been an HIV virus that's been isolated, even though Judy Mikovits says that she did, no evidence that she did. So the contention is to many people, Lanka, Cowan, Cohen, a lot of people, that the HIV virus didn't even exist, just like the COVID, in our opinion, doesn't exist. And they did this to really kill a lot of gay people. I mean, so you don't need to comment on the idea that the HIV thing didn't exist or not. That's a whole other subject. But so talk about how is the Vatican involved with this and Fauci and HIV?
So the Vatican has aspired to hold the temporal power, like, of God on earth. So they want to be like the moral arbiter of humanity, to be like the moral voice for humanity. The Vatican has always been a den of iniquity. It was controlled by powerful commercial families from Italy, some from Spain and elsewhere. These were people who they had extensive commercial links through Eurasia that made them very, very profitable. They aligned themselves with mercenaries who you know, brutalized entire civilizations, like plundering resources, exterminating people. So their main interest was in amassing wealth and power for themselves. In fact, Machiavelli's Prince, you know, which is considered to be the primer for rulership, was based upon one of the House of Borgia, which provided a few popes. So they have wanted to control population. On the one hand, populations are good because they provide new markets for corporations, you know, for taxpayer-supported goods and services, which enrich the corporations. On the other hand, increased populations pull from the system. So you have to balance, like from their perspective, making sure that you profit more than you lose. So if you have too many dependents, they can then sap money that could be going elsewhere, particularly to themselves. The Vatican took a turn for the worst after the Rothschilds took this over. This followed the Napoleonic Wars, and we can, you know, go into some of the aspects of how that happened and how it transformed.
Okay, so let me slow you down a little bit, second, so we can figure out where we are. So long ago, the Rothschild people that we've known about, they infiltrated the Vatican and began to control them. And what year was that around?
That would have been around the early 1800s.
1800s. So back in the days of King Henry VIII and all that, I've seen some pretty good, interesting dramas on that, though, with the, what was the name of the long series? Tudors.
Game of Thrones?
The Tudors.
Oh, Tudors.
Yeah, the Tudors. That was a great one. And the Vatican was very, very powerful and strong back, I guess, what was that, 1400, 1500? So even then, they were very involved in politics, right, with King Henry, and he wanted their approval, remember, to get a divorce from some one of his wives. So do we know some details on how the Rothschilds got in there in the 1800s?
Correct. So the Vatican has always wanted the power to appoint monarchs to determine who
right.
leads countries. So during the Napoleonic Wars, the Rothschilds financed all sides, putting the Vatican in their debt. And I believe that Napoleon was from a Sicilian aristocratic family, which had ties to the Vatican. So he was, I believe, tied into these Jesuit networks. He was controlled by the Rothschilds, and I think ultimately betrayed by them, you know, when he realized that he was not fighting the war that he thought he was. But the Napoleonic Wars, the Rothschilds kind of menaced the Vatican, and then the Vatican reached out to them for resources. And once the Rothschilds became their financier, they could then put the Vatican in their debt, and through financial control, you can acquire political control.
And they've been involved ever since in that connection with the Bank of England that we've heard about over the years, Susan?
Yes. So they also threatened the British monarchy, you know, and they've been trying for years to take control, to usurp the divine right to rule and put the Vatican in control of the monarchy to be able to select who runs the country. So during the Napoleonic Wars, the monarchy, they were able to, I guess, crash the British economy. And once they crashed the economy, they then could buy up the stocks, and that made the Rothschilds the wealthiest family in Europe. So then they controlled the British monarchy. They had the powerful city of London, the East India Company, which became like a powerful force for imperialism throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And they controlled, you know, all these different forces, the Vatican. And then they targeted one monarchy after another through revolution, kind of, you know, trying to, you know, take their power away and replace monarchies with representative governments with their own people, you know, serving as the representatives.
Mm-hmm. And Susan Bedford, can you conjecture what connection the Vatican today in 2021 might have with the World Economic Forum and the UN? And is this part of the same family, or are they separate from Because the Rothschilds are all part of, right, the World Economic Forum and the IMF and all that. And I guess.
Yes. So you're looking at like a group like, you know, some call them the Black Nobility. These are powerful forces around the Vatican. Through the Rothschilds, they control all the banks. Through the Rockefellers, who they created, they controlled the multinationals, which were financed by the governments. Through the public-private partnerships, they were able to establish, you know, essentially put governments in their debt and control policy throughout those nations. And so where you had increasingly a group of elites who were consolidating the wealth and power at the very top, these were the people who created, you know, the United Nations and had been advancing globalism since the World Wars. So they had wanted to push forth this great reset with the Vatican, since I think they're trying to cover up an economic collapse, and they're also, you know, desperate to hold on to power. But the Vatican has been a holding ground for a lot of the sacred knowledge of technologies that they've hid from humanity. It's really? Also where they've held a lot of wealth, and is where all, you know, a lot of the powers have the political powers aristocratic, the dynasties have held connections there.
Is that why you always see presidents and other leaders always go to the Vatican after they're elected and homage, do their little meeting with the Pope?
It is, and it's also why Nancy Pelosi wants to wash the feet of immigrants coming into the country, and, you know, undergoes, you know, kind of Catholic rituals.
Say that again.
The Vatican.
She was washing the feet of Pelosi was washing the feet of people coming in across the border.
She did something like that. I can't remember the details, but something anyway.
I can't follow those people. They're bonkers, you know. But I know the washing the feet thing was supposedly done, what, at the Last Supper, Jesus, right? Washed the feet.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. Where Jesus would wash the feet of the disciples, right? Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Susan Bradford is with us. Our phone lines are still out. They should be working today, but you can participate by patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We also have a new little chat room. You can click on it, the top of the page, a little colorful icon there, and chat in real time, and I can check that one. We just started that yesterday, so not too many people are in there, but patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So how did old Fauci get involved with the Vatican? What's that?
Fauci was trained as a Jesuit.
He was,
early
really?
In, and I also And I also found that he was a member of the Philosophical Society, and the Philosophical Society was a group that promoted knowledge of the arts and sciences, but it was founded by Ben Franklin. And Ben Franklin, of course, was a revolutionary who was colluding with the East India Company and these kind of networks, these financial networks. He was an instigator in the American Revolution, which was really designed to separate America from the colonies from the British monarchy. And after that happened, Franklin became ambassador to the court of St. James in London. He was involved in the French Revolution, and he was also first Postmaster General of the United States.
Yes, he was.
Now, the post, which is very interesting, because those posts were based upon these posts that were established in Europe, Asia, by these these merchants from Italy that had established them with the Mongolians. So they would serve two purposes. One was gathering, to have their lookouts alert them to any threats to their market share or to their power for any strategic challenges. And the other was to serve as a trading post. So these posts eventually served the basis of became the basis of the OSS, which is the Office of Strategic Services, through which these elites helped kind of manage the world wars through intelligence. They became the networks for the CIA, the Mossad, MI5, MI6, So these were all the intelligence networks that were serving, you know, these elite powers.
The post office.
So I think that, you know, Fauci, of course, was, you know, was part of the club, if you will.
Part of the club. Wow. So why would the Vatican be involved with the whole HIV thing because of their disapproval of gay lifestyles? Or overpopulation?
It was overpopulation, and since the Vatican held moral authority, they could, you know, publicly condemn homosexuals, and they could say, look, it's God's wrath upon the homosexual community for violating God's laws. What that did is it established greater power, temporal power for the ministers, for the Vatican, that you must do it as we say, otherwise, you know, God's wrath will, this is what will happen to you.
Yeah,
and at the same time, it generated profits for the, you know, pharmaceutical companies, and
sure,
you know, it eliminated a lot of people
with those drugs. I don't know what your research shows, but we've had people on that have suggested, quite a few people over the years, Susan Bradford, that because the HIV thing was a planned operation, that the tests that they used back then to discover, you know, to say if you had AIDS virus, is the same model of this PCR test, which we know is totally fatally flawed, doesn't show anything with COVID, just doesn't do it. The whole thing was built on phony tests, and the same thing happened, this is what I've been told, in the early 80s, late 70s with HIV, and then these poor kids, and they gave them the drugs, and that's what killed them. Do you think that's close?
I think it's fairly close. I'm not a medical doctor. This is not really my field of expertise.
Sure,
but
I understand.
Fauci did hype the virus. He said you can catch it by me even being in close proximity to somebody. So he was hyping AIDS just as he's hyping he has hyped the coronavirus today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to kind of create a panic amongst the people.
Was he deep in with the Big Pharma, Susan Bradford, back then, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? That would be 1980, right? 1980 or so?
It would have been 1980s. I don't know specifically that he was, but since he was working for the government and the government had established public-private partnerships with Big Pharma, and they were trying to move towards socialized medicine, they have done for a number of decades since the world wars. I think that there were the beginnings of this collaboration between the federal government and the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah.
But I'm not aware of it specifically that he had, though they did profit from what he did.
So who were the forces behind wanting to allegedly kill these people?
Are you talking about the homosexuals?
Yeah, yes, that's right. Yes, I am.
Okay. I think the agenda or the interpretation of what was happening, of why they were acquiring AIDS, was being advanced by the Vatican and the Christian evangelical leaders.
Ah.
And the Christian evangelical leaders were created through the technocracy. Like they were agents of the technocracy.
Explain. What do you mean? So the whole far-right Christian evangelical 700 Club and that whole crowd are created by whom?
Okay, so after World War II, the corporations were looking for a way to maximize their bottom line. So on the one hand, they encouraged entitlements. Entitlements help move liabilities off the corporate ledger onto the public ledger, you know, for taking care of employees. The corporations didn't really like spending that money because they wanted the money to go to themselves. So they then preached the gospel of self-reliance. This was objectivism. It became the virtue of selfishness, that, you know, those who are truly rich are blessed by God. So you have like these commercial classes. Don't question why we have what we have. We worked for it. It's ours. So it becomes part of the prosperity gospel. And those who are entitlements through no fault of their own, it could have been through these policies that were geared towards making people dependent. Well, they should be condemned because they're a drain on the system. God is not blessing them because they're clearly not honoring God in the correct way. So they began to kind of merge religion with these, you know, very damaging government policies.
So this was the beginning then, Susan, of Social Security, right after the war?
Correct. Social Security and different entitlements, correct. And again, these were policies that were established within the city of London, and then they were brought over to America.
Hmm. Wow. And you know, we've learned over the years that you probably know this, but during the Johnson administration, on a little thing called unified budget, the politicians began stealing the money out of the Social Security Trust Fund, just taking it, replacing it with IOUs, not bonds, just non-marketable securities. So to this day, there is no trust fund. It's totally gone. Every time you hear this stuff about the trust fund's going to run out, that's totally a lie.
Gone.
No trust fund. And today, I think Treasury is ponying up about $350 billion from our taxes to supplement the Social Security payments because they're already short. Amazing. It's gone on it wasn't a Democrat thing. It was a globalist thing, right? They just start stealing the money.
They have been stealing the money, and they hold the view that since they are gods on earth, that that money is theirs. They're entitled to it, and we're their slaves who be toiling to give it to them.
These guys really do think they're gods, don't they? They really think they're running the show. And wasn't it Ben Franklin? Did he bring back the whole idea of fiat currency from Europe?
That's a good question. Did he? I don't know specifically whether he did. I wouldn't be able to comment on that.
Okay. That's what I was told by one of the monetary history guys, that he was the one that he came back and said, "How are you guys doing what you do?" He said, "Well, we just print our own dollars is how we do it," and started it. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we're going to dig in a little bit. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I do know that the Mongols in inner China who these people were looking up to for an example, that they had started the tribute system whereby they were taxing their people not for the purposes of acquiring revenue they needed for the government to function, but just to amass wealth for themselves as the rulers, as gods on earth who were owed that money. So this part of this financial system that they were creating was based upon these Asian traditions.
Asian traditions. Elaborate on that a little bit.
Sure. They ruled through, I guess it's called rational self-interest, and it becomes enlightened self-interest, with the enlightened aspect referring to Buddhism. And this is that you make decisions that are based upon acquiring wealth, and independent of any concept of patriotism, duty to your fellow man, empathy, virtue. It's all about power. And so they established a tributary system whereby they would extract wealth from the people and just basically steal it because they were gods on earth and royals and entitled to it. And the more they were able to extract, the more they were able to demonstrate their dominance, which reaffirmed their belief that they were gods.
It's almost as if this idea that we think we're gods and we know what's best for humanity, this has been a string that's kind of running through the whole the elite for a long time, huh? Just forever, really. This crowd and
it really has, and I was kind of surprised to see that a lot of the strange practices that our elites have displayed, or which has come to light, were practices from Inner Mongolia. So they had, for example, hunting parties, and the purpose of the hunting party was to demonstrate your dominance over humanity. It was like the thrill of the chase, and Some of them were pedophiles. They engaged in cannibalism. They were engaging in like the cult, black magic. They claimed to have the ability to summon demons and to demonically possess other people. And these are a lot of the kind of accusations and kind of crazy rumors, if you will, that are following our elite classes today.
Exactly. I mean, it sounds like today, and this has been intertwined with these people for a long time.
I'm really going back over a millennia.
A millennia, whoa.
So it's a long way.
So do they just become, you think they just become like psychopaths? Well, if you think you're God, well, then you really are a psychopath anyway, right? I mean, if you think it's your job to control humanity, pretty much crazy.
They have no concern whatsoever for other people. In fact, when the Franciscan and the Jesuit missionaries are trying to convert these people to Christianity, they said, look, you know, we don't mind having Christianity, you know, taught on our lands, but we think you're foolish because, you know, you're soft and stupid. And here we are, you know, we have all the power. We can massacre without consequence. And we're becoming very rich. And someday we will control the world and control you. So they had kind of like a very psychopathic mindset that, you know, which completely, you know, rejected any recognition of rights for other people but themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And of course, so much of that is going on today with this whole COVID thing and what all the lockdowns and all that stuff. Wow.
Yeah, it really is. And there was also a tradition there that...
Brutal.
The public should not own anything. Like the elite should have all the money, all the wealth, and all the property.
Yeah, which is
you really
the World social. Economic Forum people have really said that. I mean, they're on record saying that, right? You should really you don't need to own anything. You can rent everything. You can rent your refrigerator, or whatever.
Correct, and this was based on. The reason a lot of people don't have disposable income is due to the tax system where they're actually stealing money from us, using the middle class to subsidize the development of the world, with the development being done by their corporations, which are then, you know, making obscene profits, you know, at our expense. So mm-hmm. The system is geared really towards enhancing them and leveraging their power and wealth at the expense of the American people and everybody.
And then also when you have a fiat currency and you control the supply of money, which they do, right? Central banks, they have the franchise to print money. That's another taxation, right? As you create more money, the amount of dollars that it's going to take to buy stuff in the future gradually goes up, right? Which is called inflation. And so that's another tax.
It's another tax, and that's what we're experiencing right now. I think
yes.
There's potentially
huge
runaway inflation.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of people are predicting for sure. Great fun. Good work. Stay right there. Okay, we'll take a quick little break here. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com with Susan Bradford, SusanBradford.org. You can go in there and buy her a cup of coffee or dinner or whatever you want to do. Just, you know, buy her something. I love you all very much. Thank you for coming here. And one of our favorite things that I take every day, not that what I take matters, is organic sulfur. Dr. Patrick Flanagan has been regarded as one of the most important scientists in the last 50 years. We talked to him about sulfur.
There's a product called organic sulfur. And organic sulfur was put into trade in 1865 as organic sulfur. Some people call it MSM or methyl sulfonyl methane, but most of the MSM in health food stores have been contaminated with a kind of silica that prevents its absorption by the body. But anyway, what happens is that if you take a tablespoon of MSM and of the organic sulfur in hot water in the morning and a tablespoon in the afternoon, it sulfates 192 different compounds, heavy metals from the periodic table. And once it sulfates them, I'm talking about radioactive elements and other things, once it sulfates them, these sulfates cannot stay in the human body for more than 12 hours.
And what Dr. Flanagan just mentioned is one of the key reasons why our sulfur is different from most out there. Amazon, no matter where you go, because it's pure. Click and order, front page, oneradionetwork.com. Would you like a discount? Just email me, £4 or more, a discount, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com. Otherwise, £2 orders, United States, Canada, worldwide, three prices. Click and order, oneradionetwork.com. Really is a great product, and I think you can work your way up to a tablespoon a couple times a day, and you'll see some great fun things happening in your nails and your skin and your hair. It's a great detox mechanism, brings more oxygen all over the place. People have been reordering our sulfur for years. I see the same names. I just love it. And again, you know, if you want more than £4, I can hook you up. Just email me, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com. One of the great things about detoxing in sweating with our sauna, I think you'll like it. This is a little chat we had with Mr. Rowe, Dr. Rowe.
Previously with Dr. Thomas Rowe, the Pericles Medical Clinic in Switzerland. Their specialty is detoxification. We asked him about far infrared saunas.
The far infrared sauna goes much deeper into the skin subcutaneously. It has its maximum about 4 to 5 centimeters below the skin surface.
You've actually measured materials in the sweat and you've proven this.
Yes, the patients after a week doing this every day, half an hour or 45 minutes, they react quite much with sweat. Then you can collect this sweat, then you measure this, and then you find how much they detoxify with the heavy metals. It's really amazing.
Really is amazing. Can you imagine that? And then we've also seen, and we have studies to prove it through the sauna, that when you do take a sauna, say you can do like your mercury level. Let me back up. Say you do a urine test. You see how much urine or how much mercury and other heavy metals are coming out in your pee. And you can sauna for 30 minutes. And then 30 minutes later, there is an increased amount of metals that comes out in your pee. That's one of the ways we don't get poisoned by mercury in the air and stuff from coal-fired plants is because the body's always dealing with it, ongoing detox by drinking, you know, good water. But the process of sweating in the sauna, the far infrared sauna, to be clear, actually increases it, the detoxification pathways through the bowels and through the bladder and the kidneys in the urine. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So it's a wonderful thing to do every day. If you'd like to get one, you can see a picture if you're on video or on our website. Just go to oneradionetwork.com and click on the sauna ad. And our delivered price is $1,195 in the lower 48. And then we ship them all over the world. We just recently shipped one to Ireland. I believe the total price was, if I remember, $1,300 or something, and that comes with the proper plug, of course, and voltage for wherever you live. So we ship them all over the world. So no matter where you live, if you'd like to get one, just email me and I'll hook you up. Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. There's no radio frequencies. There's some magnetic and electrical energy from the floor to the bottom of the chair that can be measured, but it's no more than I get in driving in my Prius. I've measured it, and I've been driving the Prius for, I don't know, since 2006, and I'm doing great. So, you know, these things are, you know, they're not deal breakers at all. You know, you get a magnetic and electrical energy standing next to your juicer when you're juicing in your refrigerator. I mean, you don't want to live there, but you know what I'm saying. And plus the fact that you're in the far infrared rays while you're getting any of the, you know, electrical energy in there. So that's cool. So you're being protected. These are great units. Your head is sticking out so you don't get a hot head. It is the Relaxed Far Infrared Sauna. They've won several awards in the made in Taiwan, actually. And if China doesn't take over Taiwan, I guess they're going to be made there for a while. I don't have to make a deal with the Jing and they take them over to get our saunas. Just kidding. Just check it out on our website. Okay. Jing. Is that his name? Jing?
We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
With Susan Bradford, researcher and author and commentator, SusanBradford.org. So walk us through the kind of China connection, because I kind of got lost there a little bit, but I get lost a lot, so don't worry. I'm just not the sharpest tool in the shed here, Susan. So how did the China people get involved with the Rothies and the Vatican?
Okay, so we're really going back to World War II. Of course, you had these networks that were established prior, and then during World War II, the Yale University established Divinity School within China, and the Divinity School recruited Mao Zedong, who was a Rothschild bloodline, to lead the communist revolution. And Yale, of course, was created by Elihu Yale, who was a merchant for the East India Company. So you had that East India Company connection. And once China was felled, you then had Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who was a Rothschild bloodline, meeting with Stalin, Rothschild bloodline, and FDR, who decided at the Yalta summit that they would elevate China, communist China, to leader of the New World Order, and then bankrupt the United States.
Whoa.
At the same time, after Stalin, once he became premier of Russia, now he was Soviet premier, he then reached out to Inner Mongolia, massacred the Tibetan monks, Tibetan aristocracy, and put his own people into power. And this was, they had this wealth, this access to this ancient technology. And if you recall, Hitler sent the Nazis over to Tibet to acquire, some of the information there, the secret technologies. So they were able to amass that power within their hands. And then Henry Kissinger, who was he was recruited during World War II as an intelligence asset. He was groomed in London for this China agenda. I can't remember the name of the prime minister. I think it might have been Palmerston. I don't remember. But he was indoctrinated in this plan. And then once he became a Secretary of State for Nixon, he helped normalize relations with China. He had Chairman Mao on the opposite side of the negotiating table. And if you read the Kissinger transcripts, you'll see how they conspired together to create mischief for the United States with a view to kind of crushing us and elevating China to lead this new world order. So once Kissinger was able to normalize relations, the successive administrations, like with Bush, Bush Sr., who was... he was working for Nixon. He became head of the CIA. He was a member of Yale Skull and Bones and ultimately became president. He was advancing the agenda, as did the Clintons, with Bill Clinton being a Rothschild bloodline.
He was also a Bonesman too, right? Clinton was a Bonesman?
I'm not aware of that.
No, he might have been. He was a Rhodes Scholar guy. Sorry, I got confused. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. You're right. He was a Rhodes Scholar. So he brought China into the World Trade Organization, and with Newt Gingrich and Tom DeLay on the Republican side, and they had no idea that China was going to do what it did, even though this was the plan all along. And since Bill Clinton had these ties to the British Crown, he spearheaded this new technological development. So he helped, he supported Silicon Valley, which gave rise to this, growing technocracy, which then brought us these big corporate behemoths like Google and Amazon and these other technological systems that have really, crushed Main Street on behalf of Wall Street, and further this agenda. So they're also building upon, the surveillance society that was part of the Mongolian and the Venetian empires, part of the OSS, but now they're trying to institutionalize it through technological innovations.
Wow, that's amazing. So So the whole tech thing, Clinton started, that was started with Bill Clinton to get these guys all.
Yes, it was.
And so that probably was when maybe even the CIA got involved with Facebook and, as we have read, Microsoft and other.
I think so, and I believe that at the Rose Law Firm, Hillary Clinton was stealing patents, and she also reputedly has some of the backdoor keys to get access to these different systems.
Oh, good. I'm glad she does.
So she had a lot of power at her disposal.
I'm glad she does. That's why she stays out of jail, I guess. She's pretty well connected.
So get out of jail free card.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So, So this whole plan you're saying, did I hear you right? Then this whole plan of the Rothschilds and the New World Order people, they want China to be at the top of the food chain for this?
They do. And there are a few reasons for this. One is that they control the Communist Chinese Party. So whereas in America we have a tradition of freedom, in China the Orientals tend to be order followers. So they, you know, they don't have that individualistic spirit.
This is the guy, this is your guy, and he's God and all that.
Correct. You will follow him. Mm. China also had a vast untapped market. It was undeveloped. So that would be an incredible amount of profits that could be made by the corporations. And they had an unlimited cheap labor. So China, it made sense for China to lead the New World Order. And also these ancient Venetian networks, they ended up like they were trying to get Jerusalem to serve as like the port where they could connect you know, the Middle East with Europe, with Asia, and to have, you know, have their commercial links essentially adjoining the world. If they control the governments, their corporations would, you know, would essentially control the world.
So then China, as we know today, they're not in conflict with Davos and the UN and the... But they appear to be, but are you saying they're not?
It's like with any country, you know, you have the deep state within it, and then you have the people who are true patriots and support the traditions and the values of that country.
Mm-hmm.
So the Communist Chinese would be aligned with the Rothschilds and the Davos group, but I believe there's also a separate part with, I believe is represented by Qi, that is trying to break away from this with Russia, you know, and to assert their nationalism and try to build an economic system separate from them.
That's interesting, because I was thinking about it this morning, I couldn't, you know, follow the bouncing ball, Susan, because it really feels like Xi and Putin are, everything that they say and do is counter to the Davos crowd, right? I mean, Putin, he was at that meeting through Zoom, a month ago? And he pretty much said, you guys are crazy. He said, you were this fourth industrial revolution. He said, we're not part of this, you know? And then the BRI, the Belt Road Initiative, and the whole, that's a Xi thing, which is separate from the Communist Party and the Rothschilds?
I believe that they're trying to create a separate global economy so that they're no longer controlled through debt and these other mechanisms.
Wow.
You know, that have been by the Rothschilds.
What a trip. How do you, following the bouncing ball with this, man, it'll make your head explode.
It really would, but I think once you understand how everything connects with everything else through these financial networks,
yeah,
you know, it kind of it does make sense. And don't forget China and Russia, they've lost tens of millions of people through these revolutions. The Mongolians were all massacred, you know, their elite were massacred. We've had millions of people massacred all over the Eurasian or the European continent through the world wars. They've killed, you know, countless people through chemical warfare, through these other mechanisms. So I think a lot of people are standing up because they realize unless you're part of that group, you're disposable. And I think there are also people within that group who do have a conscience and would like to break away, you know, mm-hmm. if, you know, given the chance.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, you can sure hear it if you listen carefully to Putin. He's very much aware of the long history of people trying to kick Russia's ass, you know, and his main job in the world is to get stay strong. And, you know, and I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. He sure doesn't feel like it, do you think?
I don't think so. I think Russia is trying to build the third Rome, which is to reestablish Europe for Judeo-Christianity. He's a strong proponent of nationalism. And mm-hmm. I mean, even though, you know, there is a Russian mafia and a lot of people think, well, that's the mafia, that's very brutal. But in order to defeat the Bolsheviks, these people who are just satanic at the core and, you know, they're ruthless to the kill, they've massacred, you know, millions of people, they've had to be ruthless, you know, to defend themselves. So I think even though, you know, there is a negative connotation associated with the mafia, they're in a way kind of doing what they have to do to defend themselves. And maybe there's like a good element, you know, associated with that.
Sure. I mean, look at the Sopranos, you know, they were good guys, family guys. And there's some great, I don't know if you saw The Godfather 3, I don't know how accurate that is historically, but certainly a big big connection with the mafia and the Vatican, according to Mario Puzo, right? And that whole thing with Don Corleone and Michael Corleone and the Vatican.
The Vatican was really run by these mafia connected families.
So how do they get, do they really have a whole bunch of gold at the Vatican, do we know? Have you seen any real data on that?
I haven't seen the data. I mean, I've heard reports, I guess, that there are rumors that the gold has been recaptured from the Vatican. I don't know how legitimate those are. You know, but I haven't seen the actual statistics of how much wealth they do hold.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. When the elites or these merchant families went into Inner Mongolia, I mean, they saw like palaces that were just painted in gold, rubies, diamonds, emeralds. Like, there was so much treasure to be had. And once the Rothschilds went in there and waged these revolutions, a lot of that gold and those gems and wealth was just stolen, was plundered.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine that quite a lot of that wound up at the Vatican.
So what is your take, Susan Bradford, of why the Pope is so in love with this whole Green New Deal thing? I mean, and man-made climate change.
The Green New Deal is very profitable. Through carbon subsidies, I guess you can kind of sell your own subsidies to make sure that you meet your standards, or that a company that might be a greater polluter can, you know, buy shares that will allow them to profit through the Green New Deal by buying their way into a compliance. I think in the big picture, they want to limit our lifestyle so that they can have more control over us. The ultimate goal for them is to be able to track and manage each person on Earth as if, you know, with themselves as gods. They can ration how much you save and use. And the only way that can be done completely is to be able to track and trace each individual through technologies, through these smart, sustainable cities. And by being able to limit your consumption and be able to monitor that, I think some of these these cities that they call them resilient cities, and resilient refers to the ability to kind of sustain shocks. Like through each world war, each revolution, the system would be shocked. Through those shocks, the elite could reorganize more of society under their power and control and absorb the wealth. So they're now looking at sustainable, resilient cities that can sustain these shocks, keep business churning, but then allow them to, you know, impose more control and then absorb more of the wealth upwards to themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's part of a wider, you know, technocratic agenda.
Yeah, we've had other folks on, Susan Bradford, that suggest that when they're pushing for all of this solar, wind, other than fossil fuels, that they're, that it's like you're saying, it's a way to control the energy through the smart meters and such, and the smart grids, because,
right,
you know, as we found out in Texas 2 months ago, the great snow froze apocalypse we had, the windmills froze, and then they had snow on the panels, and it was a disaster, you know, and these were all subsidized by central banks, right? These, all this solar, huge, like 30%. And it was, so Texas spent $85 billion on solar, and you know, and we're screwed up now. Our whole grid thing is already, it's just not happening. Amazing.
And you could even see the hypocrisy with these electrical cars. You know, they claim that they're doing this to preserve the environment,
true,
but then the lithium that they get out of the ground pollutes, you know, provides more pollution than, you know, a normal car would.
And you're going to need electricity to charge up the cars. Where's
correct
that? I mean, where's that going to come from? I mean, these car companies are investing. I saw where Porsche is doing like an $80 billion deal to come up with some kind of lithium battery, you know, for their new, you know, and everybody and their brothers and sisters. And so we might end up with, you know, 5 years from now, 4 billion electric cars and no way to charge them up, you know. That'll keep you at home, you know.
And you must wait, what is it, 15 hours to charge your car for about 100 miles?
I don't know what it is.
Recharge it?
I don't know. I don't know what it is, yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, and allegedly they have the ability to provide free energy.
Oh, I think there is. I think that technology has been there, but I don't think we'll see it anytime soon. I saw an article this morning that there's people in Texas that are showing, and they had the cameras that are showing that with these smart meters, they're actually going in electronically and raising the temperature in people's homes so they don't use so much AC. This is happening today through these smart meters. They knew what they were doing, right? They just knew what they were doing.
That they set everything in place, and we now have patriots being targeted. If they voice the wrong opinion, they can lose their bank account.
Sure.
Everything is cracked, tracing your phone number, your credit cards.
Hmm.
Which, you know, so it helps them.
Which is another reason to get into Bitcoin and have your wallet offline and nobody can get into it, because you don't know what they're going to do, these people. You have no idea.
Are you concerned with not being able to access your Bitcoin? A lot of people seem to be losing their keys.
No. That's their problem. What you can do, I don't own any Bitcoin, but I know how it works. But if you own Bitcoin, you can store them offline in a wallet, and you know the 24-letter code, and only you know it. Now, if you lose that, yeah, you're done. You're cooked. So you have to take responsibility. But they can't crack it, you know. Impenetrable.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder about how stable a Bitcoin would be given the fluctuations in the market.
How stable the price?
The price of the
Bitcoin. Oh, it's very volatile. I mean, China came out and really threw Bitcoin under a bus yesterday, and Bitcoin went down to $30,000. So it's a wild west right now. I mean, it goes up 30,000, 40,000, back to 30. They're doing everything they can to diss it. But the real crypto dudes who know how this works, and the peer-to-peer, they can't stop it. It's a worldwide phenomena that libertarians and anarchists and freedom-loving people, and I think El Salvador just made it a legal tender, first country to make a legal tender. Companies have to take it. So, Yeah, I, my opinion, what I've learned from people, and I could be wrong because I'm just, you know, a talk show host, that it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. They can't stop it, you know. They, whoever they
That's
are. Yeah, they just can't stop it. The way it's set up. The way it's set up, you know.
And I've heard that some states would try to create their own currency, like Texas.
I don't know. I'm sure that's going to happen. I know that, you know, Governor Abbott, he's building a wall around, you know, Texas and Mexico. There's 23 states that have put an end to the $300 a week extra unemployment, you know, free stuff to people because nobody could get people to go to work, you know. So I think we're going to see a lot of action, Susan Bradford, from the states, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, South Dakota, North Dakota, Tennessee, you know, red states, to do stuff on their own. You know, just I think we're going to see a lot of that in the coming years.
I certainly saw that that rhetoric in the gubernatorial election for Virginia, you know,
yeah.
among the conservatives.
Yeah, yeah. So we just may secede from the union. We in Texas someday, you can come move here. Come down here.
Definitely a thought.
Come down here. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com with Susan Bradford. Take a few emails and have some more fun before we go. So this was, I came in this morning. Let me find it. Sorry, I had it.
Your time.
Oh, okay. On the website, realrawnews.com, there are articles that are pretty interesting. If these articles are true, we are winning. Trump and the White Hats are in charge. However, as an average citizen, I have no clue if these articles are true or just pure fiction. With Ms. Bradford's sources and general experience and knowledge, can she confirm the validity of some of these articles that the Patriots are going to take over this administration someday, maybe even Trump? Is she aware of this website, Real Raw News? Perhaps ask the question before a break so she could read the headlines. Do you know anything about supposedly a lot of people out there today talking about military white hats, Trump supporters, QAnon folks, that somehow we're going to retake and get things on the right track. Any ideas, theories?
I don't know about the validity of Real Raw News. I mean, I think they are claiming that a number of people have been assassinated and been replaced with clones, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know that is necessarily provable. I do know that there are white hats who are working behind the scenes. My intuition is that we are making progress, because I think had we not been, I think the elites would be rushing full steam ahead with their agenda. And they do seem to be very stalled. Like they're not, like the oppression is moving back. People are now able to move around without the mask.
Mm-hmm.
The is opening up again. I don't know exactly where that stands, because I don't have any contacts who are working, you know, on the military side, so I wouldn't be able to confirm or deny. But I do believe that we are that there is progress being made, you know, by the Patriots.
Yeah, certainly a lot of people conjecture that. It'll be interesting, of course, to see if it's all just rumors, hopeful thinking, wishful thinking, or innuendo, or whatever it might be. It's hard to imagine that there's a lot of really good people in the military, in the United States military, isn't there? I mean, I think there are, that they're going to just let this whole, which appears to be huge amount of voter fraud, right? Just go, let it go. What do you think?
I know that the military has been aware of the agenda for decades now. They also know that if they don't turn this around, that humanity is essentially doomed. So I believe, you know, there are patriots within the military who have kind of maybe broken off and are working on the side of good on behalf of the nations. Mm-hmm. But I think we also have to worry about competing families and dynasties. Like, so if the Rothschilds are removed, would somebody else come in and fill the vacuum? So I think it's up to the patriots to be vigilant and to do what they can. If there is voter fraud, they need to challenge it. They need to, you know, to take an active role in civic life.
Mm-hmm. On more than a local level. Well, I think a lot of the real forensic evidence in I guess in Arizona is going to come out soon, right? Next couple of weeks, and the rumors are that they can prove that President Trump won Arizona. They can prove it. So I don't know if that does do anything, but it might get the ball rolling of more states, you know, digging in, like Pennsylvania and Michigan and Georgia. And I don't know what would happen if they really could prove that the whole thing was stolen. Well, you know, constitutionally, I don't know.
Do you think that Trump is coming back then, possibly?
I would, you know, if I were a betting man, I'd say he's definitely going to run in 2024. I don't think there's any way to keep him out. And he may be swampy in some aspects, because I think he's clueless on this whole injection thing. But I don't know why he doesn't get that. But I think deep down, my intuition is that he's a patriot, and all the things he did as a nationalist, you know, America first. I mean, you can't argue with that. That's just facts, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I just don't think there's any way to keep him out of this thing in 2024. However, there are rumors that it's going to be Ivanka and not Trump.
Interesting. I don't think that Ivanka has that same level of support that Trump does.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. You know, it's interesting you mentioned the Jesuits seem to be the kind of top dogs in the Catholic Church, aren't they? They're the most powerful, the Jesuits, right?
I think they're like the Freemasons.
Ah.
So they would support, like they help kind of carry out the agenda of the Vatican. And I think before the Freemasons were carrying out the will of the British monarchy, when the British monarchy held the divine right to rule. And then once Rothschild took over the British monarchy, he then was able to transform the Freemasons into this kind of this sinister force. And I believe that maybe that, like, the Jesuits now under, you know, Rothschild or the satanic control had probably become a little darker in recent years. Mm. But they perform the same.
So the Jesuits are kind of like the mafia of the Vatican. You know, they get things done.
They get things done.
I worked for a radio station in New Orleans. Huge radio station, 50,000 watt, you know. At night, it went all over the country. I called WWL radio. Been around since the beginning of time. And it was owned by the Jesuits.
Interesting.
And they owned lots of land in New Orleans. Whoa, man. Lots of power in New Orleans. Yeah.
Louisiana is an oil-rich state.
Oh, yeah. And they fired Patrick. I only lasted about 3 years there, man, and they got rid of me. This guy, he's crazy.
Was there one particular story?
What's that?
Was there one particular story?
It was just an ongoing thing. I was just always, you know, I was always just straying off the reservation of the party line, and I was always in trouble. So they eventually just fired me, you know.
They weren't towing the line.
No. Towing the line. They do that a lot.
Well, that was interesting. I was finding that the, one of the key reasons behind the American Revolution was that the colonists were trying to expand westward. And by that time, that the Jesuits and the Franciscans, you know, their missionaries already were cooperating with the Indians. So they were working with the Indians to prevent us from moving westward.
Really?
So that the Vatican could all of, you know, North America for itself. And wow. I believe that's part of the agenda behind 2030s. Those pesky Americans moved onto our land. We want our land back.
Wow. So the Jesuits were actually in cahoots with the Indians, trying to kind of keep us from taking the land that they wanted.
Correct. They had been with the Indians for hundreds of years.
Wow.
And then, of course, once Rockefeller came in, that he established the federally recognized Indian tribes, with the Baptist missionaries.
Amazing.
So there was always a religious component.
You had mentioned about the Rothschilds and Susan Bradford financing both sides of the Napoleonic Wars, right? And they did the same thing in the Civil War.
Yes, they did. And I guess the War of 1812. And
the War of 1812.
I think had they not been in power, we might have spared a lot of lives. I think they're behind many of these wars, like wars for empire.
And I was taught by my mentor, Andrew Goss, a currency historian, that the War of 1812 was about the 20-year charter of the central bank was expiring. And that's what that war was about.
Correct. They were able to put us back into their debt, and then we were forced to, of course, renew the charter.
Wow.
Always something.
It's always something with these people. I love Huey P. Long's, The Great State of Louisiana. His quote is, the only thing new in this world is the history that we don't know. Isn't that fun? Isn't that a great quote? Because we don't know any of this stuff. I mean, it's like Jesuits and the Indians and the Revolutionary. I mean, where do you find this stuff?
I think you have to follow the threads where they lead. Shakespeare also said, there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now we understand why they want the government, which they control, to control our education and determine what's taught in the classroom and how much we know and what the narrative would suggest. So I think through this great awakening, I'm hoping anyways that the more the truth will become available, more publicly
I hope
and widely
so.
Available.
It feels like it. So as swampy as it gets out there in the matrix, Susan, it feels, I get so many emails of people that are just getting having aha moments all the time about, wow, I never knew that, and they're open to, the virus, the germ theory, or that the vaccines could be dangerous, or whatever, that they're open to all kinds of things, and that it's really, something's going on.
It's amazing, all of the things that I took for granted for decades. I accepted it because I was taught, whatever it was in the classroom or in the news. It turns out a lot of that was false.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe question more.
Well, even Walter Cronkite, he wrote in his book, The Most Trusted Man in America, right in the 60s, and he was on the CIA payroll, and he was on a short leash on what he could report on Vietnam, because it was pretty terrible what was going on over there. The genocide on the Vietnamese people that our military did.
I remember during the war on Iraq that journalists with the major networks were saying that they couldn't report the facts, but they could only report on information that was statements that were given by authorities, a government official or somebody who had been pre-approved and screened. From information from a think tank, but they could not independently acquire documentation that would refute the entire narrative.
Is that right?
They could only report on
statements. And I believe that war was run by Cheney. The whole war was run by Cheney. Old George didn't have a clue what was going on.
And Chris Cheney was with Halliburton, one of the companies that was
He sure was. And Halliburton, they're still around, and they've been around forever, and they just make money on destroying things, right? And then they rebuild them, right? So
they made a fortune also through the Alaska Native corporations, and of course the Carlyle Group exploited the tax loopholes available to them to become a multi-billion dollar company.
The Carlyle Group. Now, what's their story?
The Carlyle Group. You know, that's like the major defense contractor is like a crony, you know, revolving door of crony capitalists, Rumsfeld, Bushes, Osama bin Laden, Soros. They've made their money through like government contracts and so forth. But they originally got started by when their principals, the Carlyle Group hadn't been formed yet, but the principals exploited tax loopholes for the Alaska Native corporations that were kind of given to them to help them help promote, you know, economic development on the reservation. So they had losses to sell. The Carlyle Group acquired them and then was able to resell them for a huge margin. And they made a fortune off the ANCs.
Mm-hmm. Natalie says, I'm really enjoying the show. So does your guest think we should all start learning Mandarin? It might be a good idea.
I think it wouldn't hurt, would it?
Probably not, you know. But I don't think I'd want to ever really live over there. It's pretty calming, hey Susan. I mean, they're strange control freaks too, right?
They are. I mean, they have more. I mean, they have that tradition, you know, in China. It's top down, and you know, the citizens do as they're told.
Yeah, yeah. But we could learn Russian. I think Putin's pretty cool. I like Putin.
I wouldn't mind learning Russian.
Yeah, it's a beautiful language. We could go to Babel and probably just learn it. Babel or one of those things, you know. So this is a good question from John. He is in Salt Lake City. Oh, great city. What does your guest think about the Biden administration canceling the Keystone Pipeline? I don't understand the motive behind this.
They're canceling the pipelines because they want to make us energy dependent. So if we're dependent, we then have to join into this Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
Democracy.
That was pretty simple, right? It was just an executive order. Didn't Sleepy Joe just cancel that guy and just boom, you're done?
He did. And I know that the... you know, during the Nixon administration, there were vast reserves of oil that were discovered in Alaska, and
yes.
Kissinger prevented the development of that. I know, I think we talked about this before, but so that we would become dependent upon, you know, oil from OPEC, and to allow him to kind of pull the strings of the different economies. But there's no reason we should have been energy dependent, because we have more than enough oil on American soil to last us for hundreds of years.
Hundreds of years, yeah. So I wonder how that washes. Well, can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Well, absolutely.
Cool. I'm having fun, so hope you are. Let's do this, and then we'll be right back.
Here's Master Herbalist Stephen Buhner giving some insights, guys, on why this pine pollen could boost your testosterone levels.
The pollen itself is extremely high in a number of male estrogens, the most potent of which is testosterone, and it's got a fairly high level of it. I mean, it's still in the micrograms, but that's really all the difference between us and women, is that we have this microgram more than they do, and then in the womb, that shifts us into the male developmental pattern. So when we start adding that stuff back in to our bloodstream, which you do if you take that sort of tincture and you hold it in your mouth for a while and then you swallow it, without putting it in any water or anything, it goes right through the mucous membranes into the bloodstream, and so you start to get an increase in the body of actual testosterone, which then circulates to pretty much every cell in the body, and that then begins to increase vitality and muscle strength and everything else.
This is a great product. I've taken it for years. You can click an order, and use your Thrival link, different variations in the pine pollen, potency and price, take your pick. Right here on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Lenny?
And you live where, Lenny?
We RV in our mobile home. And so, listening to your commercial, and I got the AquaCure. And man, I love that thing so incredibly much. In fact, I wrote to you right when I got it. That was July last year. And you're absolutely correct about the hydration when you don't drink as much water. And he had mentioned that, too. You know, that happened to him, that he was drinking more water when he didn't do it. And I noticed that too, and I came to that same realization that you did. It's like, wait, why am I feel more thirsty?
Yeah, really interesting. Mine was due for a cleaning where you have to empty it and everything, and I just procrastinated and didn't do it for a couple of days, and I was just drinking the regular structured water, and I was drinking a lot more water, and I really thought, wow, that hydrogen-enriched water must hydrate me so much because I don't need to drink as much water. This is really cool technology. Hydration is just one of the many things it'll do. Check it out. Lifetime warranty. 1 year, no questions asked. Money back. Guarantee if you don't like it, up to a year. Use promo code ONERADIO for a 10% discount. The AquaCure Hydrogen Brown's Gas Machine. You breathe it and you bubble it in the water on OneRadioNetwork.com. We've received so many testimonials. I've had mine breathing the gas, drinking the water for what, I don't know, we're working on 2 years. Is it that long? Man. But I feel better than I've ever felt, and I've had my body for 74 years here, and I think it's just great technology, probably one of the top antioxidants ever on the planet, molecular hydrogen. And on the water, George has taught us that it has a very low ORP, which is oxidative resistance potential, something like that. So the water is like, it gives your body energy, where if you're just using filtered water, it takes electrons out, and this puts the negative electrons in. I give it to my, you can make the hydrogen water and give it to your pets as well. Doodle likes hydrogen water. It's a really wonderful technology. So think about it. I mean, it's a couple thousand dollars, but what an investment. It's a lifetime, lifetime warranty. And a 1 year, no questions asked, money back warranty, which is pretty cool. So if you go on the front page, OneRadioNetwork.com, click on the hydrogen link, and then you'll see the place to order, and just use promo code OneRadio, and then we'll just hook you right up. We'll just do it.
We are listener supported, One Radio Network.
We're with the wonderful and amazing Susan Bradford. I don't know how you remember all this stuff. You must take your sulfur or something. Susan Bradford.org. So something I'd like to get straight before we go, a couple of things is, by the way, if you have any more emails, get them in now before we go. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com is, so if the globalists who are controlling Sleepy Joe, that's a reasonable assumption, right?
Yes.
And then so they have Sleepy Joe cancel the pipeline, so we have to buy more oil from Middle East and that they control or they're involved in? Is that how that's working?
I think they want to make oil so expensive that we'll have to explore, alternative or renewable sources. Their goal is for energy vehicles, I think, I don't know if it's maybe all 100% or close to it by 2030. So in order to get there, they have to make gas prohibitively expensive. And then ultimately, they want to wean us off of cars altogether into these like Uber situations. So if you need sure. You can order it from Amazon and they can deliver it to you through their drone. You can work from your house and be monitored, working from home.
Sure.
And you won't really need to do anything. So that's kind of where they would like to take us.
That whole idea of not owning anything and, just call up Uber and he'll take you. But then what would that do? Aren't the Rockefellers part of the globalists and aren't they deep into the oil and they get a lot of money from that? But I guess countries are always going to use oil until it runs out or...
I think the Rockefellers haven't really been a force since the 1970s, and mm-hmm. we don't really hear about them anymore. Kissinger betrayed them. Once Russia expelled its Bolsheviks, he convinced the Rockefellers to put them into our government, to the establishment, and they in turn began their plunder and doing what they do. So the Rockefellers haven't really been in control since then. But I think a lot of these energy companies can kind of move into like the green energy, so they can kind of adapt to become part of the program. And I mm-hmm. think they would always have government support support to transition into whatever, you know, market, you know, the call for it.
And who controls all of these rare earth minerals like titanium for the batteries and all the stuff they need for all these electric cars? Is that Afghanistan? Got a lot of that?
I've seen, I think, some in Latin America, I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe that they exploit child labor. I've heard, you know, stories about that, too. I read that to extract the titanium.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly of all the countries. I know Latin America does have some.
And China has a lot of the rare earth minerals, too. Right. Yeah.
Yes, it does. And I think Africa is also a place they're trying to exploit, too, to extract those minerals.
Sure. And, boy, China's all in there, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Really?
Sure.
Man, all over there. Yeah, I think Russian. I think Russian over Mandarin. It's more fun to learn that language.
Yeah, back in college, I attempted to learn Mandarin, and I just couldn't even pronounce the words. It's so the way you have to move your mouth, and you have to learn thousands of characters.
What was the motivation there? Did you kind of see the big picture of China maybe coming out as the top dog of all of this?
At the time, Japan was the great economic miracle, and I learned Japanese pretty easily. And I thought, well, Japanese should be very similar to Chinese because of, you know, they use similar characters. But I just found Chinese so much more difficult. At the time, I wasn't aware that it was on the ascent.
Yeah. Have you traveled a lot of various countries in your time, Susan?
I have. Did my postgraduate work, of course, in England. When I was young, I spent a summer in Japan. I also spent a summer in France, at Le Chambon-sur-Lyon. Hmm. And during my junior year abroad, I spent my year at the University of St. Andrews and spent my vacation time traveling throughout Europe. And that was at a time when it was safe to do so. You can go on the trains and stay at the youth hostels. So I have done a lot of traveling. My family was also very very international. We visited the Lacandon and Tarahumara Indians in Mexico. And so I've seen a lot of the world,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
Did you ever visit a country that you thought that, well, I could live there. I could live there.
You know, I always felt at home in England for some reason, perhaps
really?
Even more than America. There was just something very kind of quaint about the society. And I know that my background, of course, is English, like my genetic background.
Is
but
it?
I always felt at home in England.
Yeah, maybe you had some past lives there or something. Of course, as you know now, England is bonkers. You know, they're putting out this Delta variant, and Boris, what's his face, man? He has more than a bad hair day. He has a bad thinking day. Boy, this guy is crazy.
I think what the Rothschilds have done to England is really disgraceful.
Yeah,
they've really ruined that society, ruined the country. Boris is completely bonkers.
He really is.
I don't know.
And Trudeau, have you seen some of the stuff that this guy puts out? He's like on drugs or something.
Doesn't he also have the Chinese on the Canadian-U.S. border?
I've read that. Do you think that's true?
It wouldn't surprise me, given that he owes his loyalty to the crown, and we know that they're kind of working with the Chinese to push forward this agenda, so it wouldn't surprise me. And of course, you had the missionaries come over over the Bering Straits with the Indians, so you have that Chinese connection there in Canada, through the tribe. So it's interesting. I don't know as much Canada as I should.
Yeah.
But I certainly have no Canada Trudeau.
So before we go, if you're on a game show and the host, always like to answer it this way. If you're on a game show and the host knew the correct answer, but you have a multiple, or you get to have to come up with a correct answer for $1 million, and the host said to you, what do you think is going to be the next thing these psychopaths are going to do to try to control people following COVID-2?
I would say maybe a COVID 3. Like they would COVID want three. To, for those who are vaccinated, maybe they would want to. I mean, I don't know that this is happening, but if they were really kind of evil, they might want to blame any fatalities on the
unvaccinated.
The vaccines on a new virus, and then impose a new control system, like push build on what they've done before to impose.
Oh, I see. Yeah, and you can see that happening. I think the UK and other EU, they're coming out with this digital passport. It's already there. And they're using it to allow the vaccinated people to have more free access across borders and stuff. So it's unvaxxed.
It's a mandate that.
It's unvaxxed people. We're probably going to be staying home a lot.
It could be. And I think also with this vaccine, I think that, they're going to be able, they're trying to keep like files in each individual to kind of monitor their population, control their population. So I would be concerned that they would, log our free speech and maybe deny us bank accounts or deny us access to stores. Sure. and to jobs and so forth.
And certainly flying is probably going to be one of the big ones that'll be, used, flying. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, it's a private company and I'm a kind of libertarian. I don't know if a Supreme Court would uphold the airline's ability to mandate being injected before he could fly. That'll probably get there someday. I don't know. I'm not a constitutional person, but most of the constitutional people we've talked to suggest that when it's a private company, whether it be Costco or Whole Foods or United Airlines, they can pretty much do what they want. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No shirt, no shoes, no service. You can do it.
I think a private business can determine who and what they give their business to. And of course, if they're always bailed out by the federal government, they don't have to worry about losing the customer base.
That's my understanding. So we just may be doing a lot of driving because I don't know how much research you've done, but we had Dr. Suchard Bhakti on last week and, Cowan's work and all these people and Bulmer's, and these things are very... Dr. Ray Peet was on yesterday and talked about the mRNA and the spike proteins, and very dangerous, very dangerous. Wow.
Yeah, it's really sad. And we have, technology is neither good nor evil, and we could do so much good with that technology. With CRISPR, we could eliminate the cancer gene, and it's kind of humbling or maybe saddening that they want to, remake us in a way that, that would oppress humanity. I think there's so much good that they can do with the technology that they have, but they're misapplying it.
Yeah. Well, my dear, thanks for coming on the show. It was fun. I appreciate it.
It was fun. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you very much. So tell folks about what your website is about, what they will find there.
Sure. My website is susanbradford.org. You can find my biography, of course, and I do put my blogs up there as well. You'll have a list or thumbnails of my books. You can click on those, to connect to Amazon. And, of course, my contact information is there. My latest book is Royal Bloodlines, and that was really what I was drawing from today, about how these royal bloodlines kind of coalesced to kind of take over the world, stemming through the Vatican into to England and into the United States through the World War.
I'm going on a long time.
Going on a long time.
Is Obama part of that bloodline thing?
I read that Obama's real father was involved in some type of mercenary activity in Indonesia. He's working for the Bushes, and so the Bush family recruited the father, and then Obama, of course, was groomed for the role that he ultimately played.
Interesting. And this lady who's the alleged vice president, she's not even constitutionally eligible to be vice president, much less president. So if Sleepy Joe doesn't make it 3 more years, I'm not wishing that on him. I don't know what's going to happen. Oh, my God. What a mess.
So So she's an executive of a U.S. corporation, but maybe not the official duly elected president.
Constitutionally, people say she's not even, because of her parents, and she's not even, but nobody said anything. She's not even constitutionally eligible to be vice president, much less president. And nobody said anything. It's like, I don't know what these people are thinking. I mean, I wonder how swampy it is, man. Jeez.
But she's also a Mandarin, so she's from the elite circles of India.
Is that right?
I know the city of London loves her because she's like the great proponent of this Green New Deal.
Yeah,
she's going to beat the nail, so they love her.
Yeah, they just love Kamala. What's her face? Man, I tell you.
She and AOC are two peas in a pod.
Yeah. So what is your opinion of what this whole China did it thing is about, COVID? We have no proof of that, by the way. There's just no proof of that. So it could all be a big lie. What do you think that's about? Just the new world, just the new world order folks, the Klaus Schwab people just hating China? Maybe that simple?
Wait a minute.
I got lost a second. No, they're part of the deal, China is. I got lost.
No, that's correct. They are part of the deal. I think that they were moving towards wanting to get control of your healthcare information, and the only way they could do that is if they had a national security threat. They made China the national security threat.
Okay.
And of course, the coronavirus, I think, was patented by the Rothschilds, and then Fauci funded the lab, and somehow it was released in China. But I think that release coincided with the globalist world war games, where they were trying to bring like the global healthcare providers and defense contractors together to respond to healthcare emergencies. So it appears as though this was all kind of planned out.
And again, I have to remember that there's two factions in China. You have Xi, and then you have the Chinese Communist government, which are the Rothies people, and Xi could be a good guy, maybe.
I think Trump was working with him, and I believe that isn't Putin also aligned with him as well?
Oh yeah, he and Xi play golf, or ride horses with their shirts off or something.
And you know that the elites always try to wage war against whatever country is kind of falling out or not part of the program.
Yeah.
So that would seem to be that she is maybe a good guy.
Yeah. No. Well, it'd be interesting if we ever see Fauci in an orange jumpsuit. I know there's a lot of people that want that to happen. I don't know. I don't wish that on anybody. Jail's pretty weird, but I've never been in and I don't want to go. I don't know. I'm not even sure he's human, Susan Bradford. I think he might be just a lizard deep down. But
it's some of the behavior that these people do. It defies human belief.
It's crazy. It's like, say, how can you even do that, right? How can you even think that that's doable or okay or?
For all the money in the world, that they would do something like that.
Unbelievable. So what's next for you? So are you on, what's your next kind of rabbit hole you're going down? Anything in particular?
I am exploring the China aspect a little deeper. I have a few books in the pipelines that I'll definitely keep you abreast on. But I'm looking more into I'm going into the Vatican-China connection. I'm tracking down some of the diaries of the monks and the missionaries and seeing what they can tell us.
Wow.
It was definitely an interesting exploration.
Wow. Digging deep. Susan Bradford, she digs deep down the rabbit hole. And if you take the red pill, you can go down there with her, susanbradford.org. All right, Susan, thanks. Great work. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Patrick.
And thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Take care of yourself. Susan Bradford, susanbradford.org. So there you have it. kind of little history that they don't teach you in at Our Lady of Perpetual Payments. That's the school I went to. Oh, yeah, Our Lady of Perpetual Payments in St. Louis. Just kidding. All right, kids, we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to have a good show, two shows for you tomorrow, I think. Jeffrey Smith, Jeffrey Smith put down the whole GMO thing way before it was cool. He wrote the book Seeds of Destruction, and he's been on it for a very, very long time. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about with genetically modified organisms. And then Jet Blake. Jet is a scientist, a philosopher, inventor, a crypto nerd, and a political analyst guy, and he's going to be on tomorrow too. So who knows where we're going to go from there. Your ongoing support here by perhaps buying some of the products that we promote is how we make a living, and we deeply appreciate you doing that. Look around in our store, look around and on our website, and if you see some things that spark your interest, go for it. We know all of these people, so the products are really good. You know, we know them all, and we've used them all, and we use them all, the Blue Shield and all that stuff. So we just don't go out and find products, say, oh, let's just sell that. We don't do it like that. Okay, so I love you. Thank you, and may the blessings be. See you soon.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.